So what is your reaction to all the recent news about efforts to legalize same-sex marriage in different states around the country? We can add Washington State to the list. Washington's governor signed a bill legalizing same-sex marriage last week. The Maryland legislature is likely to pass a bill soon. The assembly passed it. The Senate still needs to. New Jersey did pass a bill allowing gay marriage last week, but Governor Christie vetoed it. He wants voters to have a say on the issue in a referendum. We will talk this hour about the future of same-sex marriage in the U.S., what's happening in all these state legislatures and in the courts and on the campaign trail, too. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 21st. We will welcome your questions and your reactions, and we will wonder if you think that the Obama campaign should make this an issue in the presidential election or not. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Kimmy King, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of North Texas. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for joining us. So, well, I guess tell us what you think about all these states right now passing or working on same-sex marriage legislation.
Well, it's quite striking, actually. And really, to put it in historical perspective, this has been a battle that's been going on since the mid-1980s. And so what you are seeing across the country is this continued political, you know, sort of representation of people bringing forth their interests, solutions being advanced, some being embraced, and then others rejected. And so, in essence, we're continuing the quilt or patchwork of laws that have been changing really for the last decade.
So help me count here. Washington State, when the governor signed the bill last week, that is the seventh state?
Yes, that's correct, but you have to take into consideration there have been states like Maine, which have advanced, initiatives in referenda only to, or have had their courts rule in favor of it, only to have an initiative or a referendum come in and change it. And so, you know, Hawaii actually was one of the original states where their court allowed for same-sex marriage, and then ultimately that got changed. Now Hawaii seems poised again to take the issue up one more time. And so it's in the form of domestic partnerships. So it's almost dizzying trying to keep pace with what's happening. At last count, we were at about seven that had legalized it in one form or another, and 15 states that are allowing some form of a domestic partnership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in Washington State, I'm reading that the governor signs the bill. It doesn't take effect until June, I think.
Correct.
And there are opposition groups forming
Absolutely.
To put some kind of referendum ballot or initiative on the ballot to try to stop it.
That's right. And so look, for example, at Iowa, where you saw judges that had advanced it. And so those judges then lost out in an election. And so you're seeing this back and forth inside the state as their, you know, are rights extended and then rights are taken away.
Yeah.
Or you see in other places where gay marriage has been outlawed via constitutional amendment.
Wisconsin.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. why you're the state I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the state come in 2009, was it, that passed domestic partnerships. So you really do have this kind of, let's just call it a political and legal tug of war between groups.
Mm-hmm. And in New Jersey, the legislature passes a bill and Governor Christie vetoes it.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And Maine is another one where you see that political tug of war as well. And so continue to watch for that.
Now, Governor Christie said he wants this to be on the ballot so voters can have a say on the issue. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, the issue of voter referendum are very controversial because the classic example that is given is that, of course, the South would have loved to have a referendum on slavery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this issue of whether or not you protect minority rights through a majority measure. There's a real concern that under our Constitution, the principles that are enshrined are that minority rights have protection regardless of what the majority says about them. That being said, the question of where those that rights line get drawn is what is at issue here. And so that's why, for example, you've seen you had the courts allowing Proposition 8 out in California, only to have the referendum come in and by a 52% margin have it be turned back, only to have the Ninth Circuit step in and say that, sorry, you can't do that. So there are a number of legal rulings that will play into it,
mm-hmm.
including one out of the Supreme Court, just to mention briefly, that goes back to a 1996 decision where the court struck down the use of a voter initiative to deprive gay persons of their rights.
And this Proposition 8 decision, the appeals court decision that overturned that, that's going to go to the Supreme Court, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that it's only a matter of time before the court weighs in on these different issues. And so there, what's striking about the issue of gay marriage is that there's a number of different legal issues involved. There's the issue of the right to privacy. Do gay persons have a right to privacy? There's an issue of equal protection. Are gay persons being treated differently? And then there's an issue of the full faith and credit clause. Do states have to recognize the marriages that other states have adopted? So there's a whole kind of crucible of legal issues that focus on this.
Yeah. Well, where do you see this headed? Where do you see the future of same-sex marriage headed in our country?
I see it as part of the continuing patchwork, to be honest. That is, and it's anybody's best guess. I think that in 10 years, the story will be written that a chunk of states, it probably will be a majority, will have either domestic partnerships or recognize gay marriage, but that states do not have to, if they do not want to, recognize same-sex unions or gay marriage from other states. I think that the Supreme Court will have ruled on it by that time, but I think we're probably at least 8, maybe 10 years out of having a final resolution to your answer.
How do you see it playing out in this election year and on the presidential campaign trail?
You know, this is quite striking because Obama made part of his message in the 2008 election that he was going to be very supportive. And there's definitely a feeling that the Obama administration has not carried out that promise. Yes, he pulled back on the enforcement of the Defense of Marriage Act, which clearly supported heterosexual marriage. So he's pulled back on that. We had the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy removed, but that was really out of Congress. While Obama was very supportive and pushed for it, that was something that had internally been coming inside Congress for probably the last decade and a half. I do not see Obama making this a campaign trail issue in and of itself. To the extent that it comes up, he will use it symbolically, but it will not be one of those key issues. The issue in this election, in all economic times, is it's the economy.
Yeah. He did say when he was first running for president that he did not believe in same-sex marriage and that he thought it should be between a man and a woman, but was in support of civil unions.
Correct.
And when asked though, just recently, the president's spokesperson was asked, should marriage equality be in the Democratic platform? The answer was, I don't know.
Yes. And so I think that initially the Obama administration had pushed for stopping discrimination, and that was the push. That same-sex marriage became the way in which, you know, the focal point of stopping discrimination was, I think, something that was out of Obama's hand, and hence part of the reason why he stepped back from it just a bit.
We are talking about the future of same-sex marriage in the U.S. with our guest, Kimmy King, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of North Texas. She's helping us understand all of these many recent developments in the same-sex marriage debate, including the passage of a gay marriage bill in Washington State and the likely passing of a bill in Maryland, New Jersey's state legislature passed a bill, but that was vetoed by Governor Chris Christie. What do you make of all this? And do you think that this ought to be an issue in the presidential race? Should marriage equality be a campaign issue? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be mostly cloudy today with some light snow. Highs today, 35 in the north, 42 in the south. Snowy in the north and partly cloudy in the south tonight. And then tomorrow, another chance of snow in northern Wisconsin, more likely rain in the southern part of the state tomorrow. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 21st. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6 this afternoon. Ben and his guest talking about current issues of the day. And after 8 this morning, it's On Your Money. We'll welcome in financial planner Kevin McKinley to talk about the future of coins and dollar bills. Right now, we're talking about the future of same-sex marriage or legalized same-sex marriage in our country with Kimmy King, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of North Texas. How do you feel about all of these states recently passing same-sex marriage bills? How do you think the presidential candidates should handle the issue of same-sex marriage in this 2012 election? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our first caller is Shannon in Kenosha. Hello, Shannon.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I have two comments. First, I think that it's important that anytime a group of people is being discriminated against, that that issue be at the forefront of any political agenda. And the second point is, considering the state of marriage in the United States right now, the high divorce rates, you know, broken families and such, considering that we have a group of people that is trying so desperately to enter this institution that, you know, maybe could they uplift the institution as a whole?
Do you have a comment on that, Professor King?
Well, it is quite striking because when you look at persons who are challenging, and clearly, you know, Lambda Legal, which is the premier litigation group that does a lot of the litigation in the states, one of the things that Lambda Legal is very good about highlighting is the fact that they choose plaintiffs in these cases who've been together for 20, 25, 30 years, people who have 3, 4, 5 children together, people that look like any other marriage. And in fact, given, you know, that the divorce rates are 1 in 2 in our society, it is quite striking. The caller's point is well taken, that there is this concern about marriage in general as an institution. There are some who claim that, you know, it will cause the degradation of marriage. Although the reality is when, you know, someone like a Britney Spears can get married and then divorced in 24 hours, there's an argument to be made that that's really the degradation of the institution. So the point is well taken.
Yeah. What about her point that, you know, when one group of people is being discriminated against, she thinks that it has to be a campaign issue?
And I think that it will be in certain states, just simply not at the national level. I do think it's an important point to be emphasized here that while there is much emphasis on gay marriage, I think one strategic tactic that ought to be considered by groups that support the legalization of gay marriage is to focus in on other areas of discrimination. In some ways, discrimination in employment and housing can be more invidious and disruptive to individuals. And so I think that that's one area where persons who support gay rights ought to also push. This idea you can be thrown out of your house because your landlord doesn't like that you're gay, or your boss can just fire you with no reason other than the fact that he doesn't like that you're a lesbian.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of the President Obama saying that while he did take a stance against same-sex marriage in his first campaign, he is evolving on the issue?
An interesting choice of words, right?
I will say that there has long been this tension, and in fact, you saw it with the proposition, let's go back to Proposition 8 now in California, where there's a certain tension historically between minority civil rights groups and their acceptance of gay marriage. And so it's not such a surprise when you look at what happened with Proposition 8 out in California. You saw the mobilization of a number of Latino and Latina groups against supporting gay rights. And so there is this tension in our pluralistic society where while you may be supportive of advancing a civil rights cause, it may depend. And so I think that's part of the tension that President Obama faces.
Our next caller is Earl in La Crosse. Hello, Earl.
Hi. I want to say I'm not really in support of gay marriage, but I'm not against civil unions. In my case, I've been married for over 40 years, but the state really didn't recognize my marriage. It recognized my marriage only when I signed the marriage license. In other words, all us married people have civil unions with the state, recognized by the state. I don't see that should be any different for same-sex couples. They should also be recognized by the state just as heterosexuals are.
Mm-hmm.
The state should not get involved either in discriminating because of sexual orientation, nor should it get involved in which church. I think that should be a which church issue.
Yeah.
Whether we should all, as citizens, heterosexual or homosexual, we should all be able to, one, be recognized in our unions in civil unions, and as we heterosexual already are. At the same time, the state should not get involved. That's a religious issue.
I don't know. I mean, there are some people who don't get married in a church, though. But I understand what you're saying. Kimmy King, what about that?
Yeah, and so, you know, I think one of the issues that the caller is raising is, what is the added benefit of recognition legally by the state? And is this really, in some ways, again, we go back to this symbolic issue. Part of the reason why gay marriage and civil unions and even domestic partnerships have been kind of a flashpoint is because they're an easy bite at the recognition that you have rights. So it has a kind of spillover effect. Do I get to go see my partner in the hospital if she's terminally ill, right? And her family might not want me to be there. Do I get to adopt my child in the event I get a divorce from my husband, right, and enter into another partnership? And so these kinds of questions can be answered by, well, has there been a legal recognition of the relationship? And so part of the reason why gay rights groups have been correct to push for same-sex civil union recognition has been because of that. There are other benefits that can follow as a result of it. That being said, there's a huge chunk of discrimination going on out there in the general population that have nothing to do with marriage, that are just in general against gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered persons.
Yeah. I brought that up because I got married by a judge. I did not get married by a church.
Right.
And Earl, though, I do understand what you're saying. You know, I was reminded that while Wisconsin has a ban on same-sex marriage, in essence, the referendum that was passed by voters, the constitutional amendment said marriage shall be between a man and a woman. And it also, though, was striking down any institution that looked like marriage, in essence saying civil union should not be permitted. What about that?
Well, so part of what that is to try to prevent future litigation on the issue. And so that's just sort of a way of being discouraging about the litigation. quite candidly, I mean, that's not going to stop the litigation, but it can be an attempt at it. And so that's part of it, to try to lay it to rest. That's part of the reason why you see some states that out and out put this constitutional amendment in place, and they want to make it clear that they're not going to really hear any other arguments about it so that they don't have to get into some other legal battle that they hope that they have stopped. You've got to remember that the litigation costs on these issues are extraordinary, and you don't read about that in the papers. You don't read about the effort and the human resources and everything that goes into, and the financial resources that go into the litigation of cases around the country on these issues.
Yeah.
And so that's part of what I would imagine.
Yeah, sure. Speaking of litigation, though, that has occurred. You mentioned that Wisconsin had this domestic partnership registry. And there was action by the group that pushed the ban to try to overturn that. In June of last year, a Dane County judge upheld the state's domestic partnership registry, saying it does not violate the state's constitutional ban on gay marriage. But there is talk that that will be appealed
as
well.
Yeah, I just started to say, has the anti-gay rights group appealed that decision? Because I would suggest to you that all across the country where you see those lower court rulings, you are seeing almost immediate backlash.
Yeah.
Almost immediately. And so what's really striking about the gay marriage issue is that it's really played itself out in all of our institutions. I mean, where if you look at the history of the civil rights movement, I mean, it largely came from the courts, and it was largely based a court-based momentum that eventually the federal government got involved in. But as a practical matter, on the gay rights issues in general, it has been all over the place and in all of the institutions from the very beginning.
We are talking with Kimmy King, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of North Texas, about the future of the same-sex marriage debate going on right now in our country. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about the many different developments around the country on the issue of legalizing same-sex marriage. Last week, Washington's governor signed legislation legalizing same-sex marriage, but opponents are working on a ballot initiative to try to block it. In New Jersey, the legislature passed a gay marriage bill, but Governor Christie vetoed it. On Friday, Maryland's House approved a bill that would allow same-sex couples to marry, but the Maryland Senate is expected to pass a similar bill soon. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Tuesday, February the 21st. We are talking about why we are seeing so many states taking up this issue now, whether the same-sex marriage debate will play a big role in the presidential election, and we're talking about this issue in the courts as well. What about that appeals court overturning California's gay marriage ban recently, and what is the Supreme Court likely to do with this issue? We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Kimmy King, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of North Texas. And our next caller is Clyde in Denmark. Hello, Clyde.
Good morning. The general conversation seems to equate domestic partnership with marriage. And we have my partner and I have been together almost 35 years. We have a domestic partnership here in Wisconsin, which gives us 43 rights. People that are married have about 1,600 rights and responsibilities that are delineated by law. It's no way anywhere close to equivalent. Mm-hmm. And if you're thinking about the current run for president, you should read and listen to what Rick Santorum and the marriage paragon, Gingrich, are saying about gay people and their rights and responsibilities in gay marriage. It has to be a thing in this election, because they will make it be, and they'll try and take everybody's rights away And the straight people should watch out, too, because they'll try and take as many rights away as they can.
Well, Clyde, I'm glad you called. Can you tell us maybe one thing you don't get as a right as involved in this domestic partnership registry that a married person's getting?
There's a lot of things around Social Security, for instance, and pensions and rights about your children and your families.
Well, I get it.
Many different rights. A lot of them are federal, and that'll take longer probably, but they're trying to take away our 43 rights right here in this state.
Right. So, Professor King, a domestic partnership registry and marriage are not the same thing.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And the caller's point is very well taken. And, in fact, there are distinctions between domestic partnerships, civil unions, and marriage. And so much of it depends upon, typically, there are these tangible benefits that can be denied to you. What is interesting is that much of the same-sex marriage debate has focused on the symbolic value of should I be allowed to be married, do you have these rights or not. As a practical matter, this is, you know, when you start to get into it, as a practical matter, there are a whole host of economic benefits that you wind up being denied as a consequence, how property can pass from one partner to the other, whether or not you get the same range of benefits for the same length of time, the ability to adopt and to get custody, etc. And so that is an entire legal quagmire that we've not even begun to address with the status of the law.
And Clyde is right, whether President Obama makes it a big issue,
right.
Rick Santorum certainly is making it a big issue.
That's correct. And that is another really good point, that it is an opportunity to mobilize those opposed to gay rights to be able to get voter turnout, especially in a year when everybody's kind of looking at the 2012 election and going, gosh, what is turnout going to be like? Republicans haven't really put forward a candidate that has everybody all charged up. Obama hasn't been his usual kind. He definitely so far has not been his 2008 self, where he was really capable of mobilizing voters. And so into that fray, if you have a candidate that has the ability to work people up over issues, somebody like a Santorum can make a difference.
Clyde, thank you very much for the call. Martha in Menominee is with us now. Hello, Martha.
Yes, hi, good morning. I think that banning gay marriage makes about as much sense as banning marriage between blue-eyed people and brown-eyed people. I think that there's a fallacy out there that people choose to be gay, and we know now that that is not true, that this is an inborn, inherent situation. And if, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago we had said that black and white people can't marry, and of course at one point in our history that was true, or blonde-haired people and red-haired people cannot marry, there would be an uproar. And I think education is part of the key to this. And how two happily married same-sex people threaten my heterosexual marriage that I'm in, beyond me. This argument is absolutely ridiculous, and it would be laughable if it weren't so scary.
Well, in state constitutions, too. Professor King.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that's really striking and a great point that the caller is making is that, and it explains part of the reason why this issue now, why has it been in the last 10 to 15 years that it's been so on the radar and around everywhere. And part of it is because it's a recognition that people have started coming out of the closet. You look at, like, Lynn and Dick Cheney, whose daughter is gay, is a lesbian, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it began with this kind of groundswell, with a recognition that it wasn't just about the 8 to 13% in the population that was represented, but it was about the mothers and the fathers and the brothers and the cousins and the best friends. And that's where that movement came from. And another excellent point that the caller makes is a threat to heterosexual marriage really coming from gay marriage, or is it coming from corrupt politicians who have repeat scandalous affairs on their wives. I mean, where is the greater threat to our moral fabric? And so as long as those kinds of issues are put forward, that's where we will stay focused on the issue of the symbolic concerns about gay marriage and marriage rights.
And while this week we saw some movement to allow a gay marriage, a lot of the news has been like what happened in Wisconsin, a ban on gay marriage in just the recent past. Why did this happen? Why were so many states involved in trying to stop gays from marrying?
To ban it. You know, this ultimately goes back to the notion, I think, this is the political scientist in me now, right, and not the attorney, but this goes back to this idea of what represents a threat. What is a threat to an institution, to a society, to a government? And I believe that there was this perception that to the extent that you give rights to other people, you in somehow are denigrating the rights that others have. And I think that's where you see that backlash. I also think that the gay rights issue is different. And with all due respect to the caller, the vast majority of the scientific literature indicates that you are born with your sexual identity. But there is a very small amount of persons who do research on this issue of whether or not that's true. And as long as you have that kind of question and that debate, you're going to have this tension. Are you born that way, right? Or are you made that way? And that makes it different from the gender issue and different from the minority rights issue, where you have those, what we call in the legal perspective, immutable characteristics that you can focus in on. And I think that's one component of the debate that often gets lost in some ways. The court has established different guidelines for protected status as a classification of persons, depending on whether or not you were born or made by your immutable characteristic.
Kimmy King is our guest, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of North Texas, talking with us about some recent developments in the news involving the same-sex marriage debate, including a number of states passing legislation to legalize same-sex marriage. And we're wondering what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talking about the future of same-sex marriage in the United States, what's happening in state legislatures, what's happening in the courts, and what's happening on the campaign trail, too. Checking our weather forecast for today, mostly cloudy with some light snow, highs today 35 to 42 degrees. I'm Joy Kerr-Dean. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Kerr-Dean. It's about 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 21st. After 8, it's On Your Money. We welcome your questions for financial planner Kevin McKinley coming up after the news. Back now to our discussion about gay marriage. Willie in La Crosse is with us. Hello, Willie.
Hi, Joy. Good morning.
Good morning. And
hi, Professor King.
Hey. Good morning.
Okay, so I was going to call in and ask about and say I wonder if there will be a similar intervention federally, because historically my understanding is, I'm 21, of the civil rights movement is that, like, as far as integration in schools in the South, it was really the federal government saying enough is enough and sending the National Guard and making the state and the local government allow African-Americans to go to school. So is someone, number one, my question is someone going to escort me into a court someday? Some National Guard, is he going to escort me and my partner into a court to get married someday? Mm-hmm. My other thing I wanted to say in regard to the question of, are you born gay or do you become gay? I think that the question, to me, it struck me, and this could be sensitive to me because I was absolutely born gay, but whatever. I think that the problem is, if you're looking at the rights of someone with a disability, and I'm not equating homosexuality to a disability, but people have rights dependent on who they are. And if someone is hit by a car when they're 8 years old and it makes them disabled, they deserve every single right of a disabled person who's been disabled since birth, and it makes absolutely no difference. So why does it make a difference if someone is gay now at birth or when you're 8 years old or whatever?
Right.
It's just absolutely absurd to me.
Thank you very much, Willie.
Absolutely, and that is an excellent point on the born versus made. And I don't want to overstate the scientific literature on being made as opposed to being born, because it's very clear that the overwhelming amount of scientific literature focuses in on the fact that it is an inherent characteristic. It is just a debate that continues inside the scientific community about some of those marginal pieces that are very criticized. We need to be clear about that. Let me go back to the first point about the federal intervention. I don't see that happening. I don't see it coming from it. And part of it is as a result of the way in which gay rights have evolved inside of our society. And I think that part of the issue with minority rights is that there had been this pot lid, to describe it, that had been put on a boiling pot of the civil rights movement that existed from 1865 until really about the 1930s. It wasn't in the 1950s. And there are actually a series of Supreme Court decisions that paved the way for integration into the schools. And so that ultimately then, when the Supreme Court comes in 1954 and leads the way and says, we're not going to tolerate this discrimination, then you saw people like Eisenhower and the federal government get on board. Then you saw the federal troops being pushed out to Arkansas, et cetera. And so it really was the court that led the way. In that sense, it is interesting that the court has taken up this issue of gay rights over time. And I'll go back to people, if you want to read an important decision on the issue of initiatives and referenda and gay rights, go read the Romer versus Evans decision in 1996, where the Supreme Court struck down 6-3 this idea that states can pass laws that specifically discriminate against persons. And so the Romer case is quite striking as precedent in support for gay rights.
Thanks again, Willie, for the call. Josie in Menominee is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I think the question that's being asked is homosexual marriages a good law for society? And when we say homosexuals should be able to legally marry, we are giving them the right to sin. No one is born a homosexual. No one is born gay. They become gay by choices that they make, and sinning is not a right. The laws that we make, laws that call sin wrong, is not intolerant, and they're not bullying. They are good for society. Laws are put in place to protect individuals and society. Sins are not rights.
All right. What about that perspective, Professor King?
Well, there's this issue then. The caller's raising an issue that relates to morality and the role that morality has inside the law. And this is where it starts to become very interesting, right? Because we can easily look at other kinds of law. Let's look, for example, at Sharia law inside the Islamic faith. And there have been some issues in Oklahoma, a neighboring state of mine. They passed a law to not allow any usage of Sharia law because of concerns that it would discriminate against women. Under Sharia law, women have significantly, and children have significantly less rights, and they are subject to what some human rights groups have called abuse as a result of what the Sharia law says. And so there's a history in our jurisprudence of trying to keep as much as possible of the religious component out of our legal life. Now, that being said, you see in initiatives around the country this recognition that we are a church-based society. I mean, we are a faith-based society, and we typically tend to be Judeo-Christian. And so if you look at the New York state law, for example, the New York state law had written in to it that churches did not have to perform these marriages because they're recognizing the point that the caller is making, and that is that there are some who have these views about
homosexuality and whether or not it is correct, and that that is not something that can be forced on the church. And so it's a difficult issue. That the point that the caller is making is at the heart, I think, of what goes on about the debate that a lot of people are simply not willing to say outright.
Josie, thank you for calling. Alex in Germantown. Hello, Alex.
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm so happy that I got to call in after the concept of sin and morality. this is a wonderful issue, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with homosexuality. The literature is out there, and it's just a simple, good societal decision. I really think it's an important issue for the presidential candidacy, for the candidates to talk about as a society, for us to bring up now. It's an important issue that we need to talk about, because at the very least, we know that it's an issue. It's out there. It's becoming, we're getting more research about it. I'm actually, at UWM right now taking a class, tonight on, gay and lesbian psychology. And the more information we're getting out there, it's absolutely true that there are several genetic factors that are pointing to the fact that homosexuality, these same-sex tendencies, are perfectly legitimate. There's just, I think that any sort of resistance to it are just the last throes of bad ideas that will not survive in the company of good ones for very long.
Do you agree with that, Professor King?
You know, the caller's making such a great point, because this is at the core of our federalism form of government, right? The idea, something that Brandeis called the marketplace of democracy. And so one of the interesting things about the gay marriage, gay rights issue is that you have seen this kind of wellspring of different views toward it all across the country. And it is consistent with our view of federalism that each state go in and make its determination about what its view is on this kind of issue. Now, whether or not there should be a minimum federal government guarantee of a right, that's a bigger debate, and that's where you start to see groups splinter in terms of their support. But the point is absolutely accurate that our views now are very different than what views were 20 years ago about gay issues in general. Let's look, for example, at hate crime violence. Let's look, for example, at rates of suicide, right? We know that among adolescent population, those that are gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered, they have higher rates of depression, substance abuse, suicide. We need to start disentangling those larger societal issues, and to what extent government's stamp of approval either hurts or harms certain populations. And I think that's where much of the debate will continue to go, is in the direction that the caller is discussing.
Yeah. Well, we have just a minute or so left. 10 years from now, what are we going to be talking about when it comes to this issue?
We are going to be talking about a gay divorce. It's going to be, you already see that in the courts and the extent to which some of the litigation groups are struggling with how to deal with it. We're going to be dealing with issues like discrimination in housing, discrimination in employment, benefits, state yeah. welfare benefits for domestic partnerships and civil unions. I mean, some of the debate will still be the same, but many of the issues will have been resolved, and it will have been done at the state level. I predict that this is going to continue to go the way physician-assisted suicide, medicinal yeah. marijuana, all of those issues have gone, that they have been left to the states, and that the states have come in and have given more rights. Underneath the federal basic minimum guarantee of rights.
Thank you so much for being with us.
You betcha. You take care.
Take care. Kimmy King is an associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Thanks to Amanda Magnus and to Bill Martins for producing this hour. Thank you for all of your calls. Hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Kevin McKinley is coming up, and we will welcome your personal finance questions for him during a Fat Tuesday edition of On Your Money. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.